From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
This past weekend, an independent and nonpartisan group of women held the Women's March on the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Cindy Sheehan and Bonnie Caracciola were the two chief organizers of a march endorsed by at least a dozen organizations, including the Green Party of the United States, UNAC, the United National Anti-War Coalition, and the Black Alliance for Peace. Washington, D.C.'s Radio Sputnik caught up with Sheehan and Caracciola on Friday. The two organizers spoke with Radio Sputnik's Loud and Clear host, Brian Becker, and John Kiriakou. This was Brian Becker.
Cindy Sheehan, you were telling Bonnie as we started that this is the first time we met, but that's not true.
No, that's not true.
We've been at countless activities together for a long time.
Yes.
And I think that I know you, but I want to make sure our audience knows you, and people may be turning on this radio today at 105.5 FM and really not know about your own, well, legendary role in terms of helping to catalyze and stimulate and keep an anti-war movement going in the United States. Talk about how you got involved.
In April of 2004, as a matter of fact, April 4th, 2004, my son, Casey Sheehan, was in the U.S. military in the 1st Cavalry, and he was just barely in Iraq for about a week, and he was killed in combat. And even though, and he was a Humvee mechanic that was promised by his recruiter that he would never see combat. You know, I hear that that's a very common lie that recruiters tell our young people. But anyway, we were against the war before. After Casey was killed, I was fired from my job because I had to take too much time off. And this is the compassionate support the troops, support their families, country that we live in. But that was kind of a good thing that I got fired, because then I was able to reach out to make connections. And you were one of the early connections that I was able to make. And I founded Gold Star Families for Peace at the beginning of 05. And then by August of 2005, we had started a peace camp in front of George Bush's Crawford, Texas ranch. And it was named after my son. It was called Camp Casey. And so then at that point, I was told that I had reignited the anti-war movement that kind of went dead after the massive protests on February 15th of 2003. There was millions of people around the world that said no invasion of Iraq. But after the invasion happened, as you know, Brian and Bonnie, a lot of people in the anti-war movement said, well, now we didn't want the invasion, but now that the U.S. invaded, we have to support the troops. So we have to support the mission. And so then in August of 05, a lot of people came to Camp Casey, thousands. There were thousands of people around the world in solidarity doing camps, doing protests with us. And you know, in September of 05, we had a really large anti-war demo here in Washington, D.C.
September 24th, 2005, 350,000 people.
Right. And I think that was like the pinnacle, right? And then the anti-war movement, I found out, was more anti-Bush than anti-war. And so when the Democrats came back into power in 06 in the election, and then they took control of the House of Representatives with Nancy Pelosi being the House Speaker, that's when the movement really started to tank. And with the election of Obama and Obama's spread of imperialism to like at least six or seven more countries than Bush was even in, the movement was kind of dormant, although we tried to do many things in Washington, D.C. And so a lot of people have contacted me through this Women's March on the Pentagon saying, wow, thank you for reinvigorating the anti-war movement. I'm like, well, yeah, every 13 years, whether it needs it or not, I'm going to try to reinvigorate this anti-war movement. But Bonnie and I have been very strict. We're saying this is not an anti-Trump thing. This is an anti-U.S. militarism thing. This is an anti-imperial thing. We're against the war machine, no matter who's in charge of it. So we've been trying to keep Trump out of it. And I think we've been pretty, not that we're Trump supporters, but I think we've been really successful.
Yeah, that's the voice of Cindy Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan is a longtime anti-war leader, organizer, activist. Her son, Casey, killed during the Iraq War. We're also joined in studio by Bonnie Caracciolo.
Perfect.
I said it perfect, right? I'm getting better. Bonnie, obviously what you're doing this Sunday is both commemorative in one sense, because it's an anniversary. I want you to talk about that and the timing of this. But it's not simply a matter of looking backwards. You, both of you, and the people organizing this are looking forward, because we need to look forward. We need to fight back. Talk about the anniversary, why you picked this date, and what your real goals are with the demonstration.
Well, we are actually honoring the memory of those who marched on the Pentagon on October 21st, 1967. And mostly they were, it was during the Vietnam War, and the 67 was a very bad year. Not that the 20 years of the Vietnam War, well, the American War, which is what the Vietnamese call it appropriately. So they marched on the Pentagon. It was a huge merging. There was actually a concert that day being presented by Phil Oakes at the West Pentagon Park nearby this of anti-war movement that was organizing. I think there were, and there ended up being about 70,000 people. It's gone from 50 to 70, but you know how that happens over the years. At any rate, this was the infamous march where they applied for a permit to levitate the Pentagon.
That was the Yippies.
The Yippies,
the
yeah.
Yippie wing of the anti-war movement wanted to levitate.
The Yippie wing, which was really more street theater.
True.
Kind of thing. And they did some awesome stuff. I mean, there's no question about it. I'm sure you can look online and find all kinds of great stuff about that particular day. But anyway, they had, and they even applied for a permit and put in there that they wanted to levitate.
I've seen that permit application.
300 feet. And somebody with a sense of humor in the Pentagon scratched out 300 and said, you can only levitate it 3 feet. So good luck with that.
Well, they tried to do something, because those demonstrators were very determined. When they got to the doors of the Pentagon, there was a clash.
There was a clash. There were people hurt. They were confronted with military men with drawn bayonets, and it got pretty ugly. Some people were conked on the head and arrested, and so it went. But the fact is they did accomplish it, and I think something like a dozen people actually got through the door.
That's right.
Into the Pentagon itself.
Where they were beaten and sort of tortured, actually.
Yeah, they were kicked in the head and thrown around the room and so forth, and that was to be expected, I guess. Although, I'll tell you honestly, back in those days, that was a lot more unusual than usual. It got worse in 68 at the Democratic Convention, as we all know. But at any rate, that's what we're doing. We're honoring the memory of that event. And also the Women's March on the Pentagon that happened in 1982. Also the same. Was it the same day? Was it October? It was a different time. So, which isn't to say that we're being very original here in that respect. You know, we're standing, as they say, on the shoulders of giants. We believe that the military budget currently in the United States is obscene. What it does is obscene. We all know that. And how we're looking into the future is to just get the conversation going. Americans have a way of looking away. You can show them pictures of starving people in Yemen. You can show them a video of nurses and other non-combatants in Gaza being shot point blank in the face, having their legs blown off and so forth. But they can look away from that and say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. Well, you better listen and you better watch, because it's not going to get any smaller. We're currently looking at 60 cents of every dollar of our budget, our collective budget, our hands are all in it, goes to the military. The wastefulness is already horrific enough, never mind the killing and torture and the devastation of the environment. But the abuses and shortfalls in the budget, where just last week they announced, or it might have been this week, was announced that the entire F-35 fleet has been grounded because of flaws. These are jets that cost, I don't know, $5 million a piece? Or
No.
$5 billion a piece?
Hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions.
Per plane.
You mean Bernie's boondoggle?
Yeah, Bernie's boondoggle.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. I'm glad you mentioned the F-35. One of the things that the Pentagon did cleverly and obviously is they made the subcontracting for the F-35, a plane that has, you know, it doesn't actually work militarily, but it's a big source of funds. The subcontracting is done in 46 out of the 50 states. Yep. And as a consequence, every congressional district sort of has a dog in the F-35 fight, whether it works or not. That's the military industrial congressional complex that's dominating the country. Cindy Sheehan, let me ask you, why a women's march? There was a women's march, right? The first or the second day of the Trump administration, huge demonstration. This is a women's march too. Obviously, you're inviting men and women.
And everybody. Yeah.
And everyone. Mm-hmm. But why a women's march?
Okay, so there was a big women's march a couple days after the inauguration, but then there was one on the anniversary of that march also. And so they, this year, you know, the first year, my sister died on that day, and I, you know, she was in my house. She died in my arms. Dee Dee Miller, a great peace activist that a lot of people know or knew. And so the next year, I had time to check out the Women's March platform. And the first year, I kind of thought the pink hats were ridiculous. But the second year, when I was looking at their platform, it didn't address war. It didn't address war, imperialism. And I said, war is a women's issue. I reached out to them. I said, why isn't war addressed in your demands, your website, or whatever? And this is verbatim what they told me, Brian. Cindy, we appreciate war is your issue, but we will never address that issue as long as women aren't free. And what they really meant was as long as white, Democrat, privileged women aren't free from Trump. That's what they want. They want to be free from Trump. So I thought we needed an internationalist movement that cared about all the women in the world, even all the women here in the United States. How many, even though like the Women's March tried to be really inclusive, how many women felt left out of that? Poor women, women of color. Disadvantaged women, women in the inner cities felt left out of the Women's March. So a friend of mine said, we should do she's on KPFA in Berkeley. She said, why don't we do a spoof and we'll say we're calling for a Women's March on the Pentagon on the 51st anniversary of the March on the Pentagon. And I was like, spoof, why don't we organize one? And so we're calling it Women's March because we recognize that women are harmed the most by war. 80% of casualties are women and their children now. The economics, devastation of their communities, their countries, their way of life really falls really hard on the woman. And we have a thing at our website, marchonpentagon.com, that shows that we prove that women are most detrimentally affected by war. So, but we're an internationalist movement in solidarity with all oppressed women, occupied women, and their families and communities around the world. We're not a chauvinistic bougie march.
That's Cindy Sheehan. Bonnie, the Department of Defense budget was increased in the last year by $64.6 billion. Now, just again, for our audience that might not understand, because none of us know what a billion is or a trillion, it's just too much money, right? But $64 billion increase in 1 year is greater than Russia's entire military budget. It's greater. It's about one-fifth of China's entire military budget. The United States spends 10 times more than Russia on defense spending. It spends 5 times more than China. It spends more than the next 8 countries or 10 countries combined. The U.S. has 1,000 military bases in 140 countries around the world. That's most countries. The last time the U.S. mainland was invaded was the War of 1812, and we can do the math on that. That was 206 years ago. So why? Why is it that the United States has this not only expanding military budget, but expanding so exponentially that it's greater than the countries that it identifies as its main, quote, enemies? Why?
Well, because all wars are economic. And basically, I mean, if you look at those countries you mentioned, they also all have universal health care, for example. The economics of war are pretty obvious when you start pulling it apart. You know, Cindy mentioned the fact that something like what, or one of you did, the 43 or 47 states have a dog in the fight, if you will. And that's premeditated because as long as you've got a state's economy relying on some facet of the military, whether it's providing for an installation or a manufacturer. I had a friend who worked for a company called Force Protection down in South Carolina. And what they did, and they made tons of money, what they did was they rewired MRAPs, which are those big giant military vehicles for, you know, they'd upgrade the computers and so forth. So they made a ton of money on that. South Carolina, being the kind of state it is, also brought Boeing in. But they fought about it because they didn't want to have unions, and Boeing is a union shop. So there was a big fight, but of course, Boeing won, or South Carolina won. The point I'm getting at is that war is for profit, and you can't have and conduct wars and manufacture these things and support this economy without actually having war. So, you know, there's no civil war in anywhere in the world that the United States doesn't love, because we're going to go in and fix it. And I put big fat quotes around the fix it part. Part of that is our interference involves supplying weaponry in every kind of shape and form, from tear gas canisters to Tomahawk missiles and even ships and all that stuff. So really, it's a matter of money. I mean, it's a for-profit endeavor. And why do you know, how can you make money if there's no war?
And the other thing is that these military goods are commodities of a particular, a special, different, distinctive kind, because unlike all other commodities that human beings can actually use in one way or the other, these can only be used in war, and they can only be replenished when they're destroyed in war. So it's a commodity unlike any other commodity in the capitalist marketplace. And in fact, it's exempt from the capitalist marketplace because the contractors, these big corporations, you mentioned Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman, they're given guaranteed profit plus contracts. So it's this huge scam, it seems to me. But, you know, if you told the people of the United States, look, you don't have money for housing and education and healthcare and things, human beings, things that you might actually need, but we have to spend all of this money. If you tell them it's really just so rich people can get ever richer, people are going to say, no, that doesn't make sense. So we have national security.
Right.
We have defense.
Right.
And what you mentioned, Cindy, is so poignant, that the same media and governmental outlets talk so much like they love the soldiers. They love their families. But the bottom line is they don't give a damn about them, actually. They're just really a prop. They're a prop.
Absolutely.
In order to justify this kind of theft from the national treasury.
Right.
Anyway, that's the way I see it.
Well, also, that's true. That's the way it is. But didn't Trump just say we couldn't really hold Saudi Arabia accountable for the Khashoggi thing because we want to sell them $105 billion in weapons? That just proves that what the United States is just a weapons seller, in a drug, black market, white market, weapons, drugs, whatever. And that's what our economy is about. And it's a pitiful economy. Not only, Brian was talking about the F-35 and how many congressional districts, but every congressional district, there's some kind of industry that employs people. And so it's like this big cancerous octopus that has its tentacles everywhere, and it would be so hard to extricate. And here in Washington, D.C., most of the people coming to our protests will not be from Washington, D.C. I think what would be your guess, 90% of the people work for the government or the military-industrial complex?
Well, it's actually about 50%, but then when you get to people who are, let's say, you don't work for the government, but you're in a restaurant that's serving
right.
government workers. So
yeah,
when
yeah.
you get through the ripple effect, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's all supportive of the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, and it's also become very affluent, this area, since September 11th, because so much money has poured into the military. Bonnie, you know, one thing that we're talking about, Cindy mentioned what Trump said, well, doesn't matter what the Saudis do against Khashoggi or Yemen, we have to sell them these weapons. It's $110 billion. But the $110 billion, and this is something that Democrats don't mention, is the exact same number that Obama allowed the Saudis to buy, or insisted that the Saudis buy, during the 8 years of the Obama administration. That was also $110 billion of arms sales to Saudi. Mm. So a lot of people say, look at Trump, he doesn't care. But the Democrats, the Republicans, are identical. I'm not even being hyperbolic. They are identical on these kind of issues.
I couldn't agree more. As a matter of fact, I think then when Trump presented his initial military budget here in the last year or so, that the Democrats even threw some in. Didn't they?
Like, oh, that yeah, wasn't they expanded enough. It.
Yeah, they expanded it.
$65 billion more dollars.
Have another $65 billion. Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
You know, why
we
nitpick?
We laugh, but yeah. It's just.
Why nitpick? So it's gotten to where, and with something like this that's so out of control, and you know, they haven't turned, and by the way, the Pentagon has not turned in a budget for 17 years. Not a penny. They haven't accounted for a dime that's gone in or gone out. They keep saying, you know, we're putting one together. You know, just wait, you know, we'll get it together pretty soon. But, you know, 17 years later, we still haven't seen anything. And meanwhile, they keep losing money. Like, what was the last figure, 21 million or 21 billion that they was unaccounted
well,
for?
They lost a couple billion that they brought in stacks of $100 bills on great
pallets,
big pallets into Iraq, and they can't find that money.
And they can't find that.
Somewhere. We just can't find
dollars.
It.
Right,
yeah, I just
right.
misplaced it.
Where's Waldo?
$5,000.
So anyway, I mean, the good thing that's coming out is hopefully is that the word is out. Thanks to people like you, some of us are getting the information. Unfortunately, as we all know, what I don't even call it mainstream anymore because there's nothing mainstream about it. It's corporate media.
Exactly.
All of this is tied in. You know, they're telling us what they want us to believe, and people are believing it. So they're like, hey, everything's great. You know, it's the bad guys are the Republicans and the good guys are the Democrats. And this we've always kind of been a nation of black and white.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's actually going to happen this weekend. We have about 2.5 minutes left. There's events Saturday from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. at St. Stephen's Church in the sort of Mount Pleasant, Adams Morgan area. And then Sunday, what time does it start? Where should people go?
Well, people should really go to marchonpentagon.com and to find the specifics. But we're meeting at 11 or before. You know, we're starting to gather at the Pentagon City. Pentagon City, not the Pentagon Metro Stop, but Pentagon City Metro Stop. We're going to march to the Pentagon. Our rally is from 1 to 4, and we have many great speakers and musicians. And Brian, you and I, like we said, have worked together for a long time. I think this is going to be the most exciting event in 10 years, at least, since Obama's been president and on. But also, we're moving forward. This is going to be a movement where we want to have a loose coalition of anti-imperialist forces that recognize that the Democrats and the Republicans are, like you said, are exactly the same, especially on the issue of imperialism.
And that's important, Bonnie. We have 1 minute left. Not just anti-war, which might suggest that the problem with war is it's the absence of peace, but it's also the absence of justice, because in this case, we're talking about imperialism. How do you see that in our last minute? I mean, why is the U.S. war drive an imperialist war drive?
Well, because it's about money. Again, as I say, all wars are economic, and the recruitment of minorities and poor people is over the top. You know, as Jean-Paul Sartre said, the rich wage war and the poor die.
That was Bonnie Caracciola, co-organizer with Cindy Sheehan of this past weekend's Women's March on the Pentagon, speaking with Radio Sputnik's Loud and Clear host, Brian Becker, this past Friday about the march. We have some sound from Sunday's march, which we will bring you now.
So thank you, everybody, for being here. Right now, I feel like I want to say that I'm marching today for my son, Casey, who was killed in Iraq, and for my sister, Dee Dee, who died from breast cancer last year, because she would be here if she could. I want everybody to take like 10 seconds. Think of your mother, your sister, your aunt, whomever who was a strong advocate for peace and who would be here. Think of the women in all the countries that the U.S. is currently bombing and occupying. Yeah. Think about the poor, oppressed women in our own country that we march for. I'm going to count down from five and yell out the name of the person you're marching for today. Five, four, three, two, one.
Gracie!
Thank you, everybody. So now I'm going to introduce the grand poobah of our march, Malachi Kilbride. You'll notice he's not a woman, but you might observe that when he comes up. But he has been helping us here in Washington, D.C., very much with this march. Malachi's a person, when I have anything here, he's always on board. And then Joel from Chelsea United Against the War is going to translate it into Spanish, because we want everybody here to feel welcome. So there you go. And then after that, Malachi will tell us how to line up and stuff for the, he'll give us the logistics for the march.
Thank you, Cindy. Yes, so I'm here to welcome you. So welcome. I've lived in the D.C. area for a long time. I just recently moved to Baltimore, but welcome. It's really good to see this turnout here today. I'm very much aware that on the face of things, we all had a choice to be here today. We didn't have to be here, but we chose to come. And I think you're like me, in the sense that we could do no other. We had to be here today.
Yeah!
We know it's our responsibility to confront this war machine.
Yeah!
This march could very well likely be a turning point in the anti-war movement in the United States. And we need to make it that.
Yeah!
We cannot continue to have these wars going. And you are very much aware, as I am, that many of our fellow residents and citizens of this country are not aware that we are militarily engaged in at least seven countries right now. We have hundreds of military bases and installations all over the planet. And we are paying for future wars and past wars, but it's the future wars we need to be very mindful of right now. This is another reason why we're marching today. Because when you pay for war, you're going to get war. And we have a responsibility to stop that. We know since 9/11 we've been lied to into this continuous cycle of wars that we must stop.
Yeah!
Here we are outside of the perimeter of the Pentagon. But that's not where the wars are just waged and planned. Look around us. These buildings around here have war contractors.
Yeah.
This is the concentration of the military-industrial complex in the United States, Arlington County.
Yeah.
Up the road in Roslyn, it's no different. All of those skyscrapers you see up there that aren't residences are contractors. Half the people up there are in uniform working for the Pentagon, and the other half are suits also working for the Pentagon. But it's no different. We're all immersed in this system of war making, no matter where we are in this country. And we have to put a stop to it. We have to speak out. As you know, I'm preaching to the choir right now. But today, this will be our turning point.
Yeah!
And if we have to come back next year, we will. But we're going back to our communities to say the war machine is sucking the life out of all of us, and we must stop it.
Yeah!
So listen, in a few moments we're going to march from here. The Pentagon is that way. This is Hayes Street, South Hayes Street. We're going to process up to Army Navy Drive. We're going to go right, and we're going to walk about a block or two to Fern Street, and we're going to go left into the Pentagon. So let's stick together. Let's be loud.
Yeah.
Let's be one community.
Nonviolent.
And now, my friend, thank you.
And keep the police aware of that situation.
Buenas tardes, público latinoamericano.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.